had jumped its bearings and was lying by the anvil in a heap of golem shards. Strong in the arm gingerly picked up a piece of a foot, tossed it aside, and then reached down again and pulled a slate out of the wreckage. He read, "The old men helped us. Thou shalt not kill. Clay of my clay. Shame. Sorrow." His foreman looked over Strong in the arm's shoulder.
"What did he go and do that for?"
"How should I know?" snapped Strong in the arm. "I mean, it brought the tea round this afternoon as normal as anything. Then it went off for a couple of hours, and now this." Strong in the arm shrugged. A golem was a golem, and that was all there was to it. But the recollection of that bland face positioning itself under the giant hammer had shaken him.
"I heard the other day the sawmill in Dimwell Street wouldn't mind selling the one it's got," said the foreman. "It's sawed up a mahogany trunk into matchsticks or something. You want I should go and have a word?"
Strong in the arm looked at the slate again. Dibbock had never been very wordy. He'd carry red-hot iron, hammer sword blanks with his fists, clean out clinkers from a smelter still too hot for a man to touch, and never say a word. Of course, he couldn't say any words, but Dibbock had always given the impression that there were none he'd particularly wanted to say in any case. He just worked. These were the most words he'd ever written at any one time. They spoke to Strong in the arm of black distress, and a mind that would have been screaming if it could only have uttered a sound, which was daft. The things couldn't commit suicide.
"Boss," said the foreman, "I said you want me to get another one?"
Strong in the arm skimmed the slate away, and with a feeling of relief watched it shatter against the wall.
"No," he said, "just clear things up and get the bloody hammer fixed."
Sergeant Colon, after some considerable effort, managed to get his head higher than the gutter.
"Yeah, you're right, Corporal Lord Denobs," he mumbled. "Dunno, Fred, whose face is this?"
"It's mine, Nobby.
Thank God for that. I thought it was me."
Colon fell back.
"We're lying in the gutter, Nobby," he moaned. "Oh." "We're all lying in the gutter, Fred, but some of us are looking at the stars." "Well, I'm looking at your face, Nobby. Stars would be a lot better, believe you me. Come on."
With several false starts, they both managed to get upright, mainly by pulling themselves up one another.
Where are we, Nobby?"
"I'm sure we left the drum. I've got a sheet over my head."
"It's the fog, Nobby.
What about these legs down here?"
"I reckon them's your legs, Nobby. I've got mine."
Right. I reckon I drunk a lot, Sarge. Drunk as a lord, eh?"
Nobby reached gingerly up to his helmet. Someone had put a paper coronet around it. His questing hand found a dog end behind his ear. It was the unpleasant hour of the drinking day when, after a few hours' quality gutter time, you're beginning to feel the retribution of sobriety while still being drunk enough to make it worse.
"How'd we get here, Sarge?"
Colon started to scratch his head and stopped because of the noise.
"I reckon," he said, winnowing the frazzled shreds of his short-term memory, "I reckon seems to me there was something about storming the palace and demanding your birthright."
Nobby choked and spat out the cigarette.
"We didn't do that, did we? You were shouting we ought to do it."
"Oh, gods," moaned Nobby.
"But I reckon you threw up around that time. That's a relief anyway. Well, it was all over Grabber Hoskins, but he tripped over someone before he could get us."
Colon suddenly patted his pockets.
"And I've still got the tea money," he said.
Another cloud of memory scudded across the sunshine of oblivion.
"Well, 3 pennies of it."
The urgency of this got through to Nobby.
"Threepence?" "Yeah, well, after you started ordering all them expensive drinks for the old bar, well, you didn't have no money, and it was either me paying for 'em or...
Colon moved his finger across his throat and went...
"You telling me we paid for happy hour in the drum?" "Not so much happy hour," said Colon miserably. "More sort of ecstatic 150 minutes. I didn't even know you could buy gin in pints."
Nobby tried to focus on the fog.
"No one can drink gin by the pint, Sarge." "That's what I kept saying. And would you listen?"
Nobby sniffed. "We're close to the river," he said. "Let's try to get..."
Something roared very close by. It was long and low, like a foghorn in serious distress. It was the sound you might hear from a cattle yard on a nervous night, and it went on, and then stopped so abruptly it caught the silence unawares.
"Far away from that as we can," said Nobby. The sound had done the work of a